This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
And in the creation, in the world altogether, there were the two powers, the two forces, good and bad. Vehu omed b'shikul b'neihem, and he found himself equally weighted towards each of them. Lehidobek b'mash yitzeh mehem, to make his choice, to cleave to whichever of the two he chose. V'hineh yoroi lo shiyivcho b'tzoiv. The correct thing was that he should have chosen good. Yagbir nishmosoi al gufoi, and by such a choice he would have overpowered his guf by his neshoma. Besichloi al chumroi, and his intellect would have overpowered his matter. Ve'az hoyo mishtalei miyad, and then he would immediately become perfect. Ve'nach b'shleimus lenetzach, and he would have been able to rest relaxably in that state of shleimus forever. It needed one choice. One action which would have tilted himself and the world in favor of Tov, and that would have been the end of it. But sorry, Shidei Teda, you need, in order to understand this, you need to appreciate. She'afal pi she'einanu malgishim l'neshoma b'guf p'ula acher zula sachayus v'haskolo. Our consciousness of the neshoma is only in the area of life and intellect. That's the only element, that's the only function of the neshoma that we sense, is the fact that it keeps us alive and that it keeps us thinking. If the neshoma is removed from us, we know that we lose our lives and that we're unable to function intellectually, and that's all that we're really aware of the neshoma. However, there is really in the constitution of the neshoma, that the neshoma has the power of purifying the body, and the ability to elevate the body. That's an aspect of the neshoma that we don't sense. The neshoma is not there just as a separate thing that keeps us alive or that keeps us thinking. There's another dimension to the neshoma that we need to be aware of, which is the dimension of elevation of the guf. Until the body is at such a high level that it can join the neshoma in the enjoyment of perfection. It doesn't hold the neshoma back. That's the real function of the neshoma, is to elevate the body, to elevate man's material existence to such a point that the material existence of man in no way interferes with man's spiritual perfection and his ability to enjoy. And to such a level Odom HaRishon would have reached had he not sinned. That's the level he would have reached. His neshoma would have purified his body, one purity after another, until he would have got to the point of being as pure as is necessary, and he would then have been fixed in a state of permanent pleasure, of permanent spiritual pleasure. That's what it should have been. So that's the discussion as to man as he was meant to be. What's the reality? And since Adam HaRishon sinned, things took a major turn. That is, to start off with, there were only so many inadequacies in the Bria as were needed to make or to create for Adam an equal balance. So they were built into the Bria that as much negative as was necessary to balance the positive. That's all. So that he would be able to achieve this Shleimus with his own efforts. That as a result of his sin, additional inadequacies, additional negative powers and forces were introduced into Adam himself and into the Bria. So now the whole world is tilted in favor of Ra. as a result of the chet. And now the tikkun, the improvement, becomes even harder than it was initially. That was the main result of Odom HaRishon's chet. Perish, that means. Initially it was relatively easy for him to come out of that natural chisorin, that natural inadequacy which was built into him, the liknos hashleimus, and to acquire perfection. Because that's how the Rebbeinu Shel created it, using his mida of tova and yosher, of goodness and straightness, that it should be easy for man to come straight. For there was no other reason for the existence of bad other than it was introduced into the Bria in order to give him this equal balance. So that by removing himself from Ra and turning himself to good, he will immediately acquire his removal from Chisorin and his acquisition of Shleimus. As a result of his chet, kivan she'al yadoi nistero ha-shleimus yoseh mishoyo. Since as a result of his chet, shleimus was more embedded, it became more hidden than it was, then nisrabu ha-chisroimus, and consequently there was more negative. And he was the one who did it. So when we talk about the fact that it's easier to do bad than to do good, that's true. But that's not a result of the way that Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. That's the way Odom made it afterwards. Now it's not so easy anymore to lift oneself out of chisorin and to acquire shleimus, as it was at the time that he was, before the time that he caused this chisorin. That's the way it was created. At that time it wasn't as easy, as difficult as it is now. The Koshchein and Hamash Mosar Shebehechre Hishtad Musoy Hamitzdarech is Atul Lahagir Shleimus Yenei Kfulo. And especially that now, the Hishtadlus needed to acquire Shleimus is double. Kit Itzdarech Tchilo Shiyashubo Odo Loilam El Amosar Shoye Barishon Kerim Achet. The first thing that mankind needs to do is to revert himself and the world to the position it was before the Chet. And then he has to uplift himself to the level which Adam was meant to do but didn't. So we've got two phases. Phase one is to get back to where we were, and only then can we lift ourselves up to the position where the Ribbono Shel Olam originally wanted us to get to. And quite apart from all this, Gozo Amidas Dina is what Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam decreed. Ribbono Shel Olam now decreed that it is impossible for man and the world to get back to shleimus while the world is in this degenerate position. In its present state, in the world's present state, we cannot get back to what it was. This state in which there is so much evil. We have to actually go beyond this degeneracy. In fact, we have to now go so far before we can pick ourselves up again. Man has to die. There has to be death before there can be tikkun. In this present state, it's too bad to be able to fix it as it is. There are two types of repair that can take place, and that applies in the physical world, and it applies in the spiritual world. The one type of repair is where you take the material that is inadequate, that is broken, and you repair it. You correct the inadequacy. But sometimes it's so bad that you've got to destroy it first and then rebuild it. Sometimes you can have a house and you can renovate the house, you can take the house as it is, and you can patch it up and fix it up, and lo and behold, there's a new house that looks very good. But sometimes the flaws are so inherent that the only thing you can do is to raise it to the ground and rebuild it again. And the way the world is at the moment is the same in Chinuch, by the way. There's some people that you can just build on the present foundations. You fix a little bit and you knock out a little bit and you put in some good, and then all of a sudden the person starts improving. But there's some people you can't do that. But you build and build, but you're building on shaky foundations, and it never comes right. And actually has to break the person down into his basic components before you can start rebuilding him again. And the Ribbono Shel Olam decreed that the way things are, we can never build perfection out of the way things are. Not in ourselves, nor in the world. It needs to go through total disintegration before we can rebuild it positively. and that is death for man. And ultimate degeneration, destruction of the rest of the world that degenerated with it. The only way the neshama can actually purify the body now is by it separating from the body and allowing the body to degenerate. Then it can be reconstituted. But tikkun is by neshama, and then the neshama can be reintroduced into man. But then the neshama can purify the human being. And so the whole world. It needs to be destroyed from its present form. And will then have to be reconstituted in a form with a potential for shleimus. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam decreed that man will have to die and be reborn. So death is only a means to tchias hameisim. We look at death as an absolute, and tchias hameisim is a man. Then there's such a thing as tchias hameisim. Tchias hameisim is the purpose of the whole thing. Death is only a way of getting to tchias hameisim, to the reconstitution. And the world will need to be destroyed and then renewed. And that's what Chazal said. The world will exist for 6,000 years and it will be destroyed for 1,000 years. And then it will be reintroduced. And after the 1,000 years of it being in its destructed state, the Ribbono Shel Olam will reconstitute the Olam, and then it will be suited and have the potential for purity.
And this, the idea from this, that the soul is the good part and the body is the bad part, but don't you in fact get bad souls and good souls that
no.
in fact make that body perform?
No, the soul is good and the body left to its own devices is bad. But if the body is elevated by the soul, then the body improves all the time. But the ultimate elevation can't take place. There's a limit to how much the body can be elevated without death. And ultimately, for the neshama to achieve its absolute, the body has to be destroyed and rebuilt.
But I thought in the world of souls that they only have good souls and bad souls, or they're not
good. No, the souls are averas, but the neshama inherently is good. The neshama does averas, and it needs to be purified, it needs to be punished, but it's inherently the neshama is good. Yeah.
In the initial
creation, there was a potential for perfection. Because it gave the
first choice. Right. Once that choice was made, the object was obvious that perfection would be attained.
In the world,
it's currently
constituted, right?
So, why wait 6,000 years in order to
re
establish the potential for perfection?
There
was no potential.
Yeah, but the people, we see, we need to do it, but the
intention
that we should do. Yeah, but we, as we were afterwards, it's true that Ribbono Shel Olam could have scrapped it all and started the whole and made a new Adam and started the whole thing from scratch. But the, we, as we are, would only be able, even in the new world, to come out right. In other words, Adam HaRishon didn't manage. That almost shows, I think my father spoke about it when he was here, that starting from scratch is not good enough. If Adam didn't make it, what would be the chance of Adam number 2 of making it? Why should Adam number 2 be any better than Adam number 1? So it's almost as if the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted the next reconstruction to take place, or to be achieved by people who had gone through this that we're going through now. When we come back, we will value what the world should be in a way that Adam couldn't, because he never saw the world destroyed. We, having had to live through this whole period, these 5,000 years, these 6,000 years, we will know the dangers and we will be even more careful than Adam HaRishon was. That seems to be the intention. So the new world will be made of people who've lived through the old one, not ones who've started from scratch.
When we tell you that you find that the original choice has almost impossible.
Yeah. Despite the fact that Adam was equally weighted. It's very difficult for us to understand that. If you're equally weighted, what's so difficult to make one choice for good? And look what would have resulted. But unless you've actually lived through the consequences of a bad choice, the choice is not that clear. That's the difference with people with experience and people without experience. You can take an MBA who knows all the theory of business in a way that a 60-year-old Yiddish businessman from Lithuania hasn't a clue. It's absolutely clear to him exactly how things are meant to be. And yet he makes a mess of the business that the father built up over years. What's the difference? The difference is just having lived through the consequences of bad decisions. There's no education that can give a person the experience of having lived through the results of bad choices. That's the most wonderful education, and one has to look at one's own bad choices in that light. And it actually prepares one for one's future in a way that nothing else can prepare one for one's future. And protecting our children from bad choices is what spoiling is. And that starts at a very early age. When you start making choices for your child that deprives him of the opportunity of learning from his own bad choices, obviously within limits, then you're depriving him of this whole experience. And there is no education more valuable than that. That's why it's so important to prepare for a Gemara Shir. Revising a Gemara Shir is also very important, but preparing for it is so important, because that's the time that you live with your mistakes. While you're preparing a Gemara that you haven't yet heard a Shir from, that's the time that you're able to take your mistakes all the way through until you figure out that it's not working. And then to come into the Shir with your mistakes and to see them being rectified, that's education, that's the chinuch. Without that, it's entertainment. You come to a Shir, you hear a Shir, you revise the Shir, it's fine, but there's no real growth. The real growth is only after you've struggled to the maximum of your ability with your own decisions as to how to learn it, and then you have to live with that, and you find out how you've gone wrong.
The only tragedy is that at the end of your life you find that you don't stop making mistakes. You might just make fewer ones.
Different ones. There should be different mistakes. Mistakes of a higher caliber. Absolutely. Mistakes of a higher caliber. You're right. The process never stops. The moment mistakes stop, there's no point in life anymore. Then one's ready for death. Yeah, but if they're getting higher, if they're getting bigger is one thing, that's possible, but they've got to be getting higher levels. And mistakes have to be mistakes that have got more chokmah behind them.
At least.
And
one thing, so the concept of it here is that man is going to die, but he has to work like crazy to be in as high a position as possible.
By the time he dies, right?
It's totally different from the non-Jewish idea of that there's total degeneracy because of Adam Harishan's fate. They say you can never get out of that.
Well, we're also saying you can never get out of it in the present state. Yes, amazing is going to be needed to get out of that. The world as it's presently constituted, we cannot get it back to what it was. That's the Derech Hashem Shittim. We cannot get it back to what it was. We can get close, but not to that point of perfection. But what's also amazing is one sees the consequence of hate. One man's hate, good, it was other Marishan, but look what one man's hate can do. So our own Tatoim also, how far reaching a hate is. And on the other hand, the mitzvah, if that's how far reaching a hate is, think how far reaching a mitzvah is, the consequences of it. It's a punishment. There's a difference between punishment and consequence. You don't get punished. The wicked doesn't punish the grandchildren or the great grandchildren, but the consequences are there. If the world has been destroyed by a hate, the destruction is there. That doesn't get repaired. It's inevitable. It's inevitable that there will be suffering. It doesn't say the children won't be suffering, it just says they won't be punished. But the suffering is inevitable. If a man destroys something and it's not rebuilt, then it's destroyed for 1,000 generations. It's there. The Hinayl of Yeshua is there, and according to this principle, Zman HaGmulo Amisi, the time for the true reward, the time for receiving the reward that we've discussed, the Mekoyma and its place, is really after Tchiyas HaMes. That's the time where we really are going to enjoy the fruit of our labors. Where a man will be capable of enjoying that both physically and spiritually. That's after Tchiyas HaMetzim. Be'yos gufoi mezukach al yedei nishmasoi. At that time when his body has been purified by his soul, u'muchon al yodo li yizmei me'beterahu, and prepared to be able to enjoy that hanoa properly. Ulam yibachnu shama anoshim v'tischalit madregosum ma'alosum v'yashur ma'ashitorchu bo'idom ha'avodah. But even in that world of Tchiyas HaMetzim, it's not going to be a communist world of everybody being equal. People will be different, each one according to his level, according to the effort he put into this world, to this life. וכפי מה שהשתדלו להשיג מן השלמוס וזה, to achieve שלמוס here. כי כפי שיר זה, because according to the measure of how much effort he put in during this world, תזדר על הנשומו בעצמו, the נשומו itself becomes pure, ותאיר בגוף ותזכחר, and it lightens up the body and purifies it, ויקנו שניהם יקרו מעלו, and the two together acquire preciousness and heights. ויהיו ראויים להזכרי ולעודו ברוך הוא, and they become fit to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the lay over Eponov, and to take in the light of his face, the Lemes Betuvo Hamisi, and to enjoy his absolute goodness. So we are preparing ourselves here for the ability to benefit from the Schar in the world after Tchiyas HaMetzim. And depending on how much purity we've been able to develop within ourselves during this world, that will determine our status in Olam Haba. And after that, there's no changing of status. In this Olam, in this world of Tchiyas HaMetzim, yeah, it's fixed. Each one has achieved what he's got, and that's the way it's fixed. That's where he's holding, that's where he's standing. That's the picture of the evolution of the world as it still has to take place.
So it doesn't seem to be a position for Mashiach. Where does that concept fit into this?
At what point he comes? We don't know that yet.
For the purpose of it, rather. It would seem that humanity would be leaving if it goes through this stage of purification without,
I don't think so. I think the ultimate, we would need Mashiach for those last stages, before those last stages take place, just to get to the point even before the world is ready for its final destruction. There would need to be a level of international purity which maybe only Mashiach would be able to bring about. And we'll see further on how Mashiach actually leads into it.